Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show On the Mark.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you. Good morning, dear Mark. Good morning to you.
You know, that's what we don't do enough around here,
sing. We don't sing. Yes, we've talked about that. We should sing some of the introductions to the... Oh, somebody took away the music. I was about to sing to it.
It ends early now.
Does it? All right. All right. Some people are hoping the show will end early, too.
Yeah, thank you and good night, everybody.
Right.
It didn't work out. All right. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open as long as you have a cell phone. It's 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WKOK. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Always include the keyword OTM. Joe McGranahan has not caused, but is aware to tell us that we do have a road report item today. 15-minute delays on Route 15 southbound and 10
more than that, I think.
Oh, okay. Is it? Well, yeah, this was a while back. One of our good listeners says Route 15 southbound, you get gummed up after the highway rejoins after the split, but now I can see on the radar that it's even before then that you get slowed down, and that's because of PennDOT shoulder cleaning causing a one-lane blockage on Routes 11 and 15 after 8th Avenue and subsequently long delays there for motorists. Is Sunbury Road still open, or did that close?
I think it closes today, I think.
Okay. So, don't take Sunbury Road to get around that traffic. Well, you can't really get to Sunbury Road.
Well, and that wouldn't really help you either, because it feeds out at the old Kmart or a W&L Subaru, and so that would put you right into the
into the heart of the matter.
Right.
Plus, you'd be merging there at the old Kmart, and that always irritates people when you go through the parking lot.
Yes, it does.
To rejoin there for some reason.
I think it was really unusual that they would have picked morning traffic, the morning commute, to start cleaning the berms. Mm-hmm. I realize the berms have to be cleaned, but it would seem like maybe they could be done later in the day.
Well, you're a shill for PennDOT. You tell them next time you have a staff meeting.
I'm not a shill for PennDOT.
Are shills always bad?
Well, it depends on whether or not you like the product they're shilling.
Can I be a shill for a company that's good? Is it good to be a shill?
Okay. Well, you're a shill for Sunbury
Google.
Broadcasting Corporation.
Definition of shill.
Every day you talk about things that are completely endorsed and recommended by Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation. That makes you a shill.
Okay, yeah. It says to talk about or describe someone or something in a favorable way because you're paid to do it.
Right.
You do not receive one thin dime from PennDOT, though.
No, I don't. As a matter of fact, every battle the borough of Shamokin Dam has fought with them since I've been mayor, we've lost.
Well, okay. There you go. So, but still, you remain resilient and friends.
Yes, very much so. They're
okay.
Good people.
All right. So,
and they're trying. They're doing the best they can with what they have to work with.
You mean you?
Yes, that's right.
or the funding.
Their friends are probably killing them. Always like what Warren Harding said during the Teapot Dome scandal. He says, not my enemies that keep me walking the floor at night. It's my friends, my GD friends.
Well, who was it that says, keep your enemies close, but your friends closer?
You tell me. You quoted him.
Or no. Yeah, something like that. I don't know. That might be a worthless Lawrenceism. I don't know.
I think that's so old, it's almost apocryphal as to who might have said it.
All right, well, you look that up. I'm going to go ahead and mention that we have a great sponsor, and that is the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. It's an opportunity for you to save a lot of bucks.
Bet you don't even know who this guy is. Sun Tzu.
Oh, no, I've never have.
He was a great Chinese warlord.
Ah, and he said, keep your friends closer and your enemies closer.
That's right.
Okay. Wow, who knew? All right, so back to the reality
here. He said it.
Okay. See, he knew. Excellent point. Okay. A family-owned dealership since 1915, two locations, 4th Street and Sunbury, plus the Routes 11 and 15 Kia dealership in Hummel's Wharf. You can find out lots more about them at sunburymotors.com. If you haven't been to the Kia dealership in a long time, you're missing out on some really spectacular-looking vehicles. I just got a chance to drive the Kia Seltos, which is just a fantastic new vehicle. I don't know what you'd call it. Sort of a mid-size SUV. It's smaller than the Telluride, but bigger than the Soul, and it is just a fantastic vehicle. Ultra-fast, too. It only has a 1.6-liter motor, which is, I have a lawnmower that has more than that, but it's turbocharged, front-wheel drive, and you can get all-wheel drive if you want it on the Kia Seltos, and you can't pay more than $30,000 for it because it is economical, but of course they have a great new lineup of colors available, and it's a fantastic vehicle for you to drive around. The Kia Seltos, available on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf at the Kia dealership. Sunbury Motor Company also invites you to visit their Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury, where they specialize in everything. They'll get you in and out of there in a big fat hurry, and they sell brand new Ford, Hyundais, or Kias to your precise specifications.
There you go again.
Oh, yeah,
big,
that's right.
Fat hurry.
Okay, so that discriminates you against skinny people.
You who are always so interested in making everybody happy and comfortable.
And respectful.
Using a word that is derogatory to many people.
So they get you out in a big skinny hurry?
We now say obese. Oh, okay. A big obese hurry.
Do we? Well, no, that's redundant then. Big and obese could mean the same thing.
Well, big and fat could mean the same thing,
I'm
too.
Obese, so you're saying that I'm bad?
No, I'm saying you're obese.
Okay. All right. We now issue a disclaimer. For the first 8 minutes of the program mean nothing to anyone,
but
so please disregard anything we said except the ramble about the Sunbury Motor Company.
Right. Well, you know, we have a lot of we're trying, angling for a CBS correspondent at the 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah, Allison Keyes.
Allison Keyes, who is reporting on gun violence in America, and how many shootings, mass shootings, since the start of the year?
This is according to CBS's pitch for the opportunity to talk to her. Let me scroll down and check it out. Talk among yourselves. Come on. Okay, so CBS says there have been 162 mass shootings in the U.S. so far this year.
According in 3 months or 4 months.
Yeah. Well, and that's, what, I think four or more people shot or killed.
Right.
So according to the Gun Violence Archive, thousands of Americans fed up with feeling unsafe took to the streets of two major cities yesterday, District of Columbia and Nashville, demanding change. The protests came following a week of violence. Four dead in Alabama after a shooting at a Sweet 16 party. So far, no arrests have been made. And in Kansas City, a 16-year-old is fighting for his life. Now, he's out of the hospital now, you said?
Yes, he is, okay. Out of the hospital.
After knocking on the wrong door to pick up his younger brother and was shot by the homeowner, who's been arrested and released.
Right.
So, and what factor, if any, do we know for sure that race was in that shooting?
Well, the man admitted that he's the 84-year-old man who shot the teenager. The teenager knocked on his door, rang his doorbell in the, I guess, around midnight. He was there trying to pick up his siblings. And the address was like 115 so-and-so place, but there's a 115 so-and-so Plaza, which is right nearby. He was at the wrong address.
Mm-hmm.
He rang the doorbell. The older gentleman, 84 years old, got up. Because he had fallen asleep, he got his gun out to answer the doorbell. Is that a reasonable thing to do, to get a gun to answer your doorbell? Maybe at midnight.
Well, maybe
it is.
If you're...
Maybe it is.
First, I would think you'd have to do a look through the window. You know, all
well,
windows are set up.
I'm finishing the story.
Oh, okay.
He opened the front door. There is a storm door there. He sees what he perceives to be a 6-foot-tall dark figure and shoots twice. Hit the kid once in the head, once in the shoulder.
Wow.
And fortunately, it grazed his head. The young man is still alive. But he is an honor student. He's been in the band. He's in the band. You know, this was not a kid who was going to harm anybody. just looking to pick up his brothers and his siblings, and that's all he was doing there. And then you have up in New York.
So is that criminal negligence on the part of the homeowners?
Well, there's a stand your ground law, but he wasn't. He told police, the 84-year-old man told police he felt in fear of his life because he saw this tall, hulking figure, and he didn't feel he could defend himself at age 84 against somebody 6 feet tall. Mm-hmm. So he just shot. Was that a reasonable thing to do before you found out what it was the person wanted? There was still a storm door between you and that person. I'm assuming the storm door was locked, too. Mm-hmm. So it would have given him a second, depending on what his reaction time is at age 84, to be able to think about his actions before he pulled the trigger.
So he shot through the door.
Well, he did shoot through the door. He shot through the storm door and hit the kid. Mm-hmm. You know, it's tragic. And so you have an 84-year-old person apparently living alone, probably hypersensitive to his surroundings and concerned for his safety over the period of his lifetime. Now he's not able to defend himself as easily as he could in the past. So he has this gun and he takes it with him to answer the front door. And they let him go home. The cops questioned him and let him go home. I understand now he's being charged with felony assault or something with a firearm. So, I mean, there's that one. There's the one tragic, even more tragic one up in New York where some young adults, I should say, not kids, pull into a driveway. They're looking for a house in a rural area, and they make a turn into the wrong driveway, and as they realize their mistake and are backing out, the homeowner comes out and fires at them with a rifle, striking and killing a young woman in the front seat.
As they were leaving. Well,
now, he's been charged with second-degree murder, as well he should be.
Yeah, you're not supposed to. If you want to stand your ground, that's one thing, but not if somebody is leaving. Yeah, back in Kansas City, Missouri, the individual is charged with felony assault and armed criminal action. So two different charges. Armed criminal action.
That's what I was trying to
say. Which carries up to a life term.
So well, at 84 years old, anything he gets is likely to be a life term.
Yes, but I'm just saying that's how serious that crime is. Yeah, I think in Pennsylvania you might call it criminal negligence if I'm sort of on the same page for what that would mean. The potential exists that we talk to Allison Keyes at 9:06 if we can do that. So CBS says they're working on that. So we'll let you know about that. But give us a buzz. What's your view on these shootings that took place? Not accidental shootings per se, but...
But they beg the question. I mean, we're talking about, Allison Keyes is talking about mass shootings.
In general.
These are not mass shootings. These are just incidents involving people with a gun. Now, they do feel that race was an issue in the one with the older gentleman because he saw a black man, or a black teenager, and he fired. And that's tragic. That's what it is. Harder to explain the one in New York where the guy just opened fire. But it does bring up the question of gun violence generally. You know, people are talking about, my point was going to be, people are talking about banning assault weapons, but here these shootings apparently had nothing to do with assault weapons. They had to do with somebody's personal perception of whether or not they were safe and somebody's perception of someone trespassing on their property.
Well, and I think some of the things that we talk about as being common sense changes in gun laws that might make us safer wouldn't help in the two that we're talking about, you know, background checks or restricting ammunition or protections from abuse or raising the age for individuals to buy a gun or magazine sizes would not do that. And we haven't heard about, but maybe there is some connection associated with mental health interaction with those individuals. But and right now we say that if you have to notify the federal government or individuals who are care providers, therapists and psychologists and so on, have to tell law enforcement if the individuals is a harm to themselves or others in your perception, but there can be some change associated with that, you know, is changing that law. I don't want to change the gun laws if we want to focus on mental health laws. What's the...
But who's mental mental health are we checking on? The mental health of a guy who someone pulls in his driveway and he gets out a gun and fires at them?
Well,
the mental health of an 84-year-old man who feels like threatened because somebody rang his doorbell?
I hate to say, but that incident's an outlier that really defies our whole gun violence conversation. You know, this is a person wakes up in a fog, has a gun handy, sees a black man at the door and shoots him. That's, I mean, the whole thing is screwed up from top to bottom. So I hate to be so indelicate about it, but...
Well, you've got a good point.
It shouldn't be part of our mass shooting conversation and mental health notification. I'm just wondering, is there some way, you know, what about... voluntary commitments. Should voluntary commitments count against people who want to buy a gun? Now, you know, if you get involuntarily committed, that becomes part of your gun buying prohibition record. But what about voluntary commitments? You know, I can volunteer, you know, I can be as crazy as a jaybird, as they say, and get voluntarily committed every 10 days and back out, you know, and I can still buy a gun. So is it time to change voluntary commitments as well?
Well, I think the problem we have here is not only the people are buying guns, but the people have guns. If shooting them off at other people without provocation, without just cause is an issue, I don't see how we're ever going to stop that. You know, and so we talk about, as you say, these common sense gun laws that would make us safer, but there are no common sense gun laws that would make us safer from specific incidents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody who's called the program who had some suggestion, not one of the suggestions would have stopped the crime that we're talking about.
These accidental shootings, or these shootings
mass
in the
shootings.
Driveway. Oh, mass shootings.
No, not one of them would have stopped it.
I wouldn't say that.
They had no record. They purchased the guns legally. There isn't
right,
one of those
things. Right, under
current
law, but different laws might have changed for some of the mass shootings. But prevent them all outright, you know, that's
what would they
topic.
Be? Banning the assault rifles doesn't stop those that are already on the market,
well,
or already available.
This doesn't appear in print anywhere. This is Lawrence's worthless idea. Do we want to do voluntary commitments that they have to get reported to? Maybe some of those individuals may have been involved in that. I don't know. I'm just saying that this is worth talking about. All right. If folks want to talk about this, call us now, 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236, focusing primarily on mental health changes right now, but maybe gun laws. You want to talk about that too? Maybe there is something there. 570-743-9565. We'll be right back.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Lawrence, Lynn Hall, fabulous producer on the other side of the glass. Stan, you're on the mark. Thanks for patience. Go right ahead.
Good morning. The guy in Kansas City needs to spend a lot of time in jail. So is the guy up in upstate New York. Need to spend a lot of time in jail. Because both of what they did was totally wrong.
Okay, to be clear, these are individuals.
There's no discussion on either one of those matters.
Okay, super. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, I mean, would you shoot somebody to turn around your driveway, Mark? I wouldn't. It happens from time to time. I may look out the window and see who it is. And if they linger too long, then I might think about something, but I wouldn't shoot them unless they came to the door and tried to break down my door. That's
okay.
The way it is.
Okay, but here's the issue. This guy had a gun. If he didn't have a gun, he wouldn't have fired it at people who were in his driveway, would he?
Oh, so you're saying we shouldn't have guns.
I doubt that he would have run out with a Nax.
So what you're saying, Joe, is we need to remove all guns.
No, I'm just saying that there are issues. We have to face the fact that if we're going to talk about how we curb this, there has to be some discussion about controlling the weapons that are already out there. There has to be, or we're not going to stop it at all.
There's lots of control on them.
Huh?
There is control on them.
But apparently it's not working.
Wait a minute, Joe. There are laws. The last time I checked, there are laws that tell me I cannot murder someone.
That's true.
So when are we going to control that?
But people still do it.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean we don't try to stop it. We don't make it easy for them.
Well, we're going to pass another law? Well, who says it's easy? I mean, I don't know. I've never murdered anybody, and I don't intend to. So you're saying it's easy to murder someone?
Well, right now, I'm sure that 84-year-old man didn't intend to shoot somebody when he was 20. But now he's 84, so as Stan gets to be 84, maybe you'll become paranoid about somebody ringing your doorbell.
Well, generally, I'll have a doorbell, so nobody's going to ring mine. So that's neither here nor there.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, he's stupid, okay? You open the door and you see some kid there, okay. Did the kid try and come through the door? Probably not.
No, he didn't.
Doesn't sound like it. He just knocked on the door and looking for an address. So, you know, the guy was 100% wrong, and he should spend a lot of time in prison. And from my understanding, what he's been charged with is up to life and 10 years to life. Well, at 82 years old, it's probably a life sentence.
Okay, but how does that young man who has been shot in the head and in the shoulder, he's an honor student, plays in the band, how does he get his life back?
I don't know. How does any victim of a crime get their life back, Joe? I don't know. There's nothing you can do for him. But, I mean, other than the family sue the guy, and the guy probably doesn't have much.
This was a preventable crime, though, Stan. You've got to admit that.
Was it preventable? How was it preventable, Joe?
It was preventable because the 84-year-old man didn't need to have a loaded weapon with him when he went to the door to answer it. He didn't need to have that.
And who are you to determine that?
I'm the gun czar for the United States of America.
Okay. See, that's the problem.
But, Stan,
everybody,
if you have a gun,
everybody has to make a decision, and then they have to take responsibility for their decision.
Agreed.
This
but
guy
if you
made a poor decision, and he's going to pay the price for it.
If you have a gun and you take it with you, what was your intent? It obviously wasn't to scare the person because he didn't display it. He fired it. So,
well,
I mean,
I don't know what his intent was because I don't read minds. So his intent was maybe if he needs to protect himself, he's there. Now, as far as the people in New York turning around a person's driveway, if they never got out of the car, there was absolutely no reason ever to shoot at anybody.
Well, that's
ever.
Why he's been charged with second-degree murder.
Good. And I hope he spends a lot of time in prison. Now, I lived in Louisiana back in, it was 93 or 94, when that idiot there in Baton Rouge shot a Japanese exchange student, okay? You know what the guy's excuse was? Because he supposedly feared for his life. Now, here's how the situation went down. The kid was trying to go to a Halloween party, so he had makeup on and in a Halloween costume. Whatever he looked like, I don't know, okay? He went up, knocked on the door, and backed out into the yard. The guy came out of his house and shot him, saying he feared for his life. I call BS on that, okay? Because if you fear for your life in any of these situations, you close your door, you go in, you call the cops. You still have your gun if you need it for protection if the guy's trying to block, come that knocks down your door. But you don't use it unless you are absolutely being physically attacked. Plain and simple.
But that's not what the Stand Your Ground law says. It says if you feel threatened, you may use deadly force. You have no obligation to retreat. Yes, you should retreat. Well, I agree with you if you can do it safely. But these Your Ground laws don't require that.
Well, see, when you're in your house, you're not really retreating. What you're doing is closing the door and you're calling the cops and you're waiting. If the guy knocks down your door, then all bets are off. Okay? Now, I can't read people's minds. So when people say that they feel threatened, okay, you can take them for their word or you don't. That's up to every individual, and the juries will decide this, okay? I can't read minds. Never said I could, and never will claim to. So this guy says he was threatened. I don't care, okay? He was behind the door. There was a door separating him. There's no excuse to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. He could have closed his door, called the cops if he thought he was being threatened, if he feared for his life. That's the way it is. Okay? So if you say that you don't have to have a reason for staying your ground law, maybe that's one you should. If you can get to safety, which would be inside your house with the door closed. You still have your weapon if you need to protect yourself. but you don't shoot through a door. You don't shoot somebody in your yard, not near your door. And you definitely don't shoot somebody in your car, in your driveway.
Does the NRA stand up for these people?
And I don't care what laws you pass. Stupid people will do stupid things.
And that young lady is dead needlessly.
Yes, and he was a stupid one. He better pay a severe penalty for it. Now, the guy, the case
I would say that I would say that she
guy
paid,
never paid any penalty for it, and I have a problem
with that. Stan, I believe she paid the most severe penalty for his action.
And you're correct, Joe. I will not argue with you that one bit, okay? Now, this man will never own another firearm, will he? So, and in the United States of America, you're always innocent until proven guilty. People can't read minds, and so until you do something, you cannot be punished for it, at least the last time I checked, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying there's nothing we do here. There's absolutely nothing that makes any sense to do, nothing that will make us any safer,
well,
nothing that will stop the violence.
I don't know how you can protect against stupid people.
Yeah, tell me, Joe, because the last time I checked, it's illegal to rape, rob, murder,
or steal.
And a whole host of things that you're not allowed to do. Yet every day it happens across this country. Right. Now, what happened in Alabama at the Sweet 16 party? They still haven't released what exactly happened. Other people died and a bunch of people got shot. Was there one shooter, two shooter, three shooters? I want to know those details.
Well,
all I know is people died.
They haven't released the manifesto of the transgender shooter in Nashville either.
Exactly. Why did that happen?
Well, yeah, eventually they'll have to give that
because up. Because the woman was stupid and crazy, okay? That's why it happened.
We've got to outlaw.
You called her a woman.
Stupidity.
Well, she was. It is a woman. I don't care what she went as. She's a woman, okay?
You
so y'all have a great day.
Her.
Think about it.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for calling in. All right, you are listening to WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. We're having a brief discussion about gun violence, and you can weigh in, really looking at two separate topics. One relates to two individuals lately have shot people that were on their property, one at the front door, another one exiting out the driveway. But in both cases, the shooter, the homeowner, charged with criminal crimes for shooting at people who weren't apparently an actual threat to them. Of course, one is this tragic case from Kansas City where a teenager went to the door of a home looking for a family member he was supposed to pick up, but he was at the wrong home, and the 84-year-old man inside the home shot the black teenager once in the head and once in the shoulder, and the teen was in the hospital for a time but survived. So that case has led to criminal charges against the homeowner. Another case where somebody was turning around in a driveway, apparently in the process of backing out, when the homeowner exited the home with a rifle and opened fire onto the car and shot the individuals in the car. So those are there. So we have that gun violence conversation underway. We have an invitation into Allison Keyes from CBS News, who is covering the gun violence topic in general from Washington, D.C. So we hope to hear from her this hour. I suggested one common sense measure to make us safer that I think we should talk about. What if voluntary commitments would prohibit an individual from getting a gun? We don't want everybody who seeks mental health care to necessarily be barred from having a gun, because probably in everybody's life they have some time when they could probably benefit from some mental health care or just some good therapy or conversation.
I thought you were going to say could benefit by having a firearm.
Well, I already think everybody should benefit. Everybody could benefit from having a firearm. I already know that to be true. I like mandatory carry, but I think I'm the only one.
Glad I'm not your neighbor.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Yeah, and actually, my neighbors are very glad you're not their neighbor, too.
Also, bet they are. So, I don't blame them.
Yeah, nobody wants Joe for a neighbor, but that's a whole other issue. But anyway, so, yeah, what do you think about that? What if, right now, if you are involuntarily committed, I think they call it a 302 in Pennsylvania if you get involuntarily committed, then that goes on to your potential, your record, and so when you go to buy a gun, that would count against you and you would be prohibited from getting a gun. But what if, and the way that you can avoid a voluntary, an involuntary commitment is to just voluntarily be committed, and we know that law enforcement and counselors and others say to people, you may want to voluntarily commit yourself so that you don't hurt your record for a number of things, one of which is buying a gun later. And involuntary has a different stigma, we'll call it, in the court system. So, but voluntary commitments carry no weight. So should they also be included? This means you couldn't voluntarily commit yourself so as to avoid the involuntary and so you can get a gun later.
Why don't you do the headlines?
All right. Sunbury. Joe doesn't get it. On the Market sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our telephone number is 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WDKOK. You can email us at onthemark@WDKOK.com. That's 570-WDKOK.com. And the phone number is 570-743-WDKOK. Email on the mark. And then, let's see, you can text us at 70236. Joe's going to check those. Always include the keyword OTM. Recreation USA, the Valley-based group that's been performing nationwide for hospitalized veterans, will be dissolving this spring once and for all. They've been in business over four decades. Director Jay Mueller says no young people wish to sing in the group any longer. So after May 15th, he says they'll dissolve and their assets liquidated. A lifelong Union County resident, eager to take over as Union County District Attorney if nominated and elected. Brian Kerstetter is a Lewisburg resident.
When Pete decided that it was time for him to retire, he was interested in making sure that he had someone who was ready, willing, and capable to take over the position. He came to me. Of course, I jumped at the opportunity. This is where I want to be. This is what I want to do.
You can hear more about Kerstetter's campaign on the WDKOK podcast page. From CapitalWire.com, some family members of Tree of Life synagogue shooting victims in western Pennsylvania are pushing for the death penalty for the killer. In describing his decision to continue his predecessor's moratorium on the death penalty, Governor Josh Shapiro pointed to the response to the horrific mass shooting at the Tree of Life synagogue in Pittsburgh, saying it's hard to imagine a more heinous crime than murdering 11 people as they pray, and candidly, my first reaction was that the killer deserved to be put to death. Over time, however, my belief in this topic has evolved. I've spoken to victims, families, and advocates, to community leaders. I listened to members of the Tree of Life community and was blown away by their courage and their fortitude. They told me that even after the pain and anguish, they did not want the killer put to death, unquote. Shapiro announced his death penalty decision several weeks ago that he would seek the ongoing moratorium. Indeed, leaders of the Jewish congregations targeted in the attacks have spoken out against the death penalty, but some family members say the Tree of Life shooter should be put to death.
Is that a deterrent, knowing that you may forfeit your own life?
I don't know the answer, but I believe pollsters and criminologists do know the answer. I wouldn't think.
And what do they say that answer is?
I would think the death penalty for certain crimes would be a slight factor in people's minds. I think if I was a terrible criminal, I'd know that, you know, life in prison is one thing, but execution's another. But is that true? Or do criminals think like I think, you know, like I weigh out all the factors before I do something? So,
well, you know, we have this penalty.
That's
right?
A good question.
This constitutional thing against cruel and unusual punishment. But what say we make the punishment cruel and unusual for committing a murder?
Well, that would be unconstitutional.
It used to be called drawn and quartering. You remember that? They actually would do that while somebody was alive. They would cut them apart, pull their intestines out while they were alive,
okay,
and then literally cut them. And
like the Vikings do in the
Well, this was our ancestors from our beloved England who did this, among other things. So suppose we made the punishment so harsh, not just incarceration, but, you know, like maybe 20 years of really hard labor. They say it, mm-hmm, hard labor, but what hard labor do we have in prisons? You know, how about dangerous labor?
Moving
we
rocks
make them
around.
Do all the things that are dangerous. You know, we train them to be
dirty jobs.
Dirty jobs, right? We got Mike. What's his name? Mike Rowe to train them in dirty, mm-hmm, jobs.
Okay.
I don't know, but I mean, if we can't do anything with the guns, if we can't, if taking them away from people doesn't make them
death
safer,
penalty.
If universal background checks don't do anything,
and fear the death penalty.
Well, the death penalty and the method of incarceration. Perhaps it should be harsher.
Well, and more importantly, in Pennsylvania, I think a valid question to ask about the death penalty. No, I don't favor the death penalty, and I don't. And you're softening your view on it as
Not
well.
Not really. I'm very much in favor of it.
You
certain
still
circumstances.
Are. Okay. Under the right circumstances.
Certain crimes.
All right. That's fine. So I think. Yes, I don't, or scratch that. No, I don't think a criminal says, oh, gee, I could get the death penalty for this. I better not shoot my fellow drug dealer here. I don't think they go through that thought process. But at the same time, would a criminal find some comfort in knowing that the death penalty is off the table no matter what you do? In other words, you know, is
That's
there
an interesting
is there is a stronger corollary in that direction?
Well, they have that one. That was the other story we didn't touch on this morning. The outrage over the and I forget where it was, but the police were held not criminally liable for shooting a guy, something like fired 96 shots at him, hitting 46 times. The guy apparently had fired at them earlier. He was unarmed when they shot him, but there was a gun in his car.
Right, and they thought he was reaching for his waistband.
Now, it turns out that his girlfriend had been killed, maybe in a traffic accident or something like that the month or so before, and that they're speculating he may have been attempting suicide by cop.
Okay. Oh, dear.
So, but yet people are protesting that the cop should have been held accountable. The grand jury refused to indict them.
Okay. Yeah, I saw just enough of that video to think that for people who saw it all, and if they say it's a justifiable shooting, I could accept that. It seemed to me that you can just see the very first part. Apparently, he had a pretty dramatic arm movement
right
to his waistband and then to turn around as though he was going to shoot. Because
Well, he planted his foot, too. Like, all right, I'm going to turn and shoot.
That's
but
a
to
good
the community
question.
People, I mean, the fact that white policemen shot a black person, that's all they see in this kind of case. And maybe that's all they should see because, let's face it, it's been the case for a long time.
But
I saw a photo the other day that dated from 1910, and it was about some black entertainers, and the sign in the background said, "And police brutality." So apparently this has been an issue for quite a while.
Okay. Okay. Well, we do have some other very brief news headlines, but we got...
I interrupted you.
No, it's all good. It's all text. Well, this is discussion. This is the talk show, and so we're talking. All right. If you wish to weigh in on our talk, 570-743-9565, email on the mark at WKOK.com, and text at 70236. The rest of the brief news headlines here, as talked about, actually, Gasbuddy's not talking about Saudi Arabia in their remarks, but they do say gas prices are going up because of the rise price of oil, seasonal impacts. We're switching to summer blend, which costs more.
Really?
I thought it was the opposite. But anyway, gas prices up about 10 cents a gallon in Pennsylvania, in case you didn't know. A news service called City and State, based in Philadelphia, is reporting that members of the LGBTQ plus Equality Caucus in Harrisburg are introducing two bills aimed at ensuring equal rights for same-sex couples and prohibiting discrimination based on gender and sexual identity. The first piece of legislation, a bipartisan, are you ready for this? Bipartisan marriage equality bill seeks to update Pennsylvania's marriage law to reflect the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling that marriage equality can include same-sex couples. One of the co-sponsors is Jamie Flick, a Lycoming County Republican, who echoed the need for the updated language, as I believe Pennsylvanians should have the freedom to marry whom they choose. The U.S. Constitution grants all people this right, unquote, he said in a statement. So he's co-sponsor of that particular piece of legislation.
Would they draw the line at human beings? Whoever they choose.
Oh, they have to.
Can't be an animal, right?
An animal. Well, I don't know if you want to marry your cat.
If you love your cat or your dog, why not?
Right. Why? Who are we
to judge?
Who said that?
I don't know.
The Pope said that.
Sun Tzu.
About 2 years ago. All right. Let's see. What do I want to do? How about this? How about one more? A guy sues Netflix for putting his picture in a true crime documentary promo. A guy in Kentucky is suing Netflix for using his picture in a true crime documentary promotion about a hatchet-wielding hitchhiker. The 27-year-old respiratory therapist had nothing to do with the crime. He just happened years ago to post a picture of himself holding a hatchet in 2019, and the production company for Netflix used it in their promotions, saying that this is what can happen to you if you pick up a hitchhiker. The guy will have a hatchet, and bad things happen in the Netflix series. His friends saw it and blew up his phone. He's demanding $1 million for defaming him. Netflix hasn't yet responded.
I think he's being generous by only asking for $1 million.
Well, maybe. I know lawsuits don't usually ask for a specific dollar. Maybe that's just at least $1 million kind of thing. But usually lawsuits have like $16,000 for the attorney's fees plus $1 million plus.
Well, usually an outfit like Netflix would have attorneys who would be all over everything like that. Where'd you get this picture? Who is it? Is it stock? Mm-hmm. Is it a stock photo that you paid a license fee for? That would typically be what they would do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, years ago, we had a major company put out a Christmas decoration, and it was of a radio station and a tower, and it had WKOK on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they had not gotten our permission to use our name, our call signs, and they wound up having to compensate us for that. But the letter, I never forget the letter that we got from the attorney saying we had hired, our attorneys had done due diligence, but apparently they failed miserably.
Well, if you say WKOK the right way, it comes out W Coke. So right. I'm not going to say which company
it was. I think that's
what
they were. Yeah, well, it was that company.
Right. Right. And those are those adorable Christmas illuminated things that you could buy.
Right. And they also sent me one as a consolation prize.
There you go. Yeah, all the rest of them
I
didn't
still have
sell.
It.
So here's one. Yeah, I have one also in the attic.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, using somebody's picture. He's plainly recognizable as the individual in the photograph. And people who know him recognize him, and being a respiratory therapist, he has to encounter individuals who do not know him, and he would like them to not know that he's a hatchet murderer.
Oh, my God, it's the axe murderer.
Aren't you the guy that hatcheted 20 people in Alabama?
Thank God he's not a phlebotomist. Can you imagine that?
How do you draw blood? Okay, well,
we
amputate.
Right.
Right. We just draw enough. Yeah, well, this will open you up. Well, he's a respiratory therapist. This will open you up.
You won't be breathing when I'm done with you.
Oh, my gosh. So I think we can ruin any good story, Jill, you and I. All right. 570-743-9565. We'd love to talk to you. Let's get an Allison Keys update and see if she's going to be available. No indication yet, so we're hoping to do contact with her.
Well, taking some of our emails and texts real quick while the calls get logged in. To stop people who murder with guns by taking guns away from those who don't doesn't make sense. And then let's see who wrote this one. They've signed it. So from RB in Mifflinburg, he says, when a police officer is involved in a shooting, they are investigated to make sure reasonable force was used. Was the shooting justified? Could have a less fatal deterrent have been used, like pepper spray, taser, pepper spray, paintballs, or beanbag shotgun rounds. Should the public be encouraged to obtain and use these self-defense products? In the two shooting incidents from this morning, these products may have brought about different results. That's a good point.
Well, yeah, especially the beanbag. If you whack somebody at close range with a beanbag, that's...
However, would a beanbag penetrate a storm door?
I would think so, yeah.
Would it? Okay.
Especially if you hold the muzzle close to it.
And then one of our other emailers, let's see if this one is signed.
Yes, it's Doug.
That's Doug. Doug says, the only reason the incident of the 16-year-old who was shot at the wrong door is because he was black and the 82-year-old man was white. The media hopes to make this a racial issue. It's that simple. If it was a white young man, it would not be a national story. The 82-year-old man was sleeping and awakened by someone at the door and was probably probably startled and probably is not of sound mind. Well, I don't think you can say every 82-year-old is not of sound
maybe
mind.
I think it's tied to the groggliness.
Okay, yeah. Just as many people that at that age tend to lose some mental capacity. Just look at our supposed president. The old man made a bad mistake. It should be dealt with legally. But that doesn't need to be made into a black versus white issue. Signed, Doug.
Okay. Good points, all. Thank you. One more, and then the phone.
All right. Cliff says, instead of capital punishment, consider life in prison and hard labor with lifetime restitution to the victim's family.
Oh, I like that. What's wrong with that? All right. That's
put him to work.
Justice. Dan, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I'm not old, but I'm old enough to remember a time in America when hardly anybody needed to carry a gun. And when you went to the door, you didn't need to worry you were going to be attacked. There was no even such a thing as a worry when you went to the door. But as the time went on, since I was a youth, lawlessness became more prevalent in our society. To today, I understand why the guy there had to have a weapon, though he used it foolishly, should have never shot. I agree with Stan's analysis of the situation, but it's too bad that we reached a point where a good amount of us feel at times we need to have a firearm. And how did this come to be? Did you ever wonder?
Well, that's a good point.
It wasn't.
How did it come to be that we reached this point in a beautiful country we live in, enjoying all kinds of freedom? How did we reach a point where we feel that we need to pack heat for our own protection? You gentlemen have an answer.
Well, I think our society is changing, you know, significantly. You know, there's probably
exactly.
more crime than there ever was.
And the answer, my friend, is not blowing in the wind. The
thank
answer,
you.
My friend, is in a book of righteousness. America.
Here we go.
We are gradually turning our back on what we call religion, I call truth. America was founded on the basis that to be a successful country, we had to be a good people, basically with good morals and good standards. And today, we've turned our back. Now, I don't know if you gentlemen are familiar with George Barna, does all kinds of analysis of what's going on, but every time he does one, America's turning further away from truth and going into secular humanism, believing each person is their own God, their own judge of what is right, what is wrong. And that's where the answer is. Unless America ever finds herself again, this is just going to keep on mushrooming. And the way it's going right now, I don't see us turning back to a time when we respected goodness and respected each other. And I don't see that happening. Unfortunately, I don't think it'll happen. I keep praying. All people keep praying that it happens, but will it happen?
Yeah, I don't. I'm wondering if there really is more crime than before. There certainly are more incidents, but there are more people. You know, we have twice as many people crowded into areas. So maybe urbanization and the fact that we're packed in more. I think it more relates to the parents than the fact that people may or may not have faith. I know a lot of people that aren't necessarily churchgoers, but they're good parents and they raise their kids up good and they learn, you know, values of human life and so on. So I'm not sure religion is the only answer. It certainly doesn't hurt anything, but, you know, we're packed like sardines in cities now. You know, look at just normal communities around here. Neighbor disputes are very common. So I think, you know, that's a factor. Plus parenting, religion may be a factor. What else? But I wouldn't just say, well, we're all becoming irreligious, and that's why there's more crime. I wouldn't say that.
What would you say?
Yeah. What I just said.
I know.
I would say what I just said again, if asked.
Thank you.
So, all right, Dan. Go ahead.
Yep. Yeah. It's like, I can't remember the Frenchman's name that came over here in the 1800s trying to figure out what made us great. And we still were a great country, and he.
You're talking about.
He went all over it.
You're
finally,
talking,
he said,
you're talking about.
Preaching.
You're talking about de Tocqueville.
Yep, exactly. You got it. And you know what I'm going to say. He said it comes off America's pulpits, the preaching of righteousness from the pulpits of America is what makes us a great country. And I believe that, hey, I don't mind a preacher stepping on my toes. It's good for me. And sometimes he jumps up and down on them.
There you
Praise
go.
The Lord. But that's what makes America great.
Okay.
We
right,
need
we got
the
you.
Preaching of righteousness again from All the right. pulpits of America. And we need to take heed.
All right. Okay. We got so, you, sir. Thank
hey,
you.
Thank you, guys. You take care. Have a good rest
you too.
Of the day.
Hey, you too, buddy. Thank you so
remember
much.
Remember the... Yep.
Gotcha. Thank you. All right. 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword
OTM.
He's right, you know.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Yeah, Mac gets a little fired up. Mac gets a little wound up.
Well, it's good to be wound up as long as he doesn't have a gun. Or an axe.
Boy, you are witty today.
Yes, half the time at least.
And yesterday we were bickering about everything. So,
well, we have a text here, and we have Eric who's been waiting patiently. All murderers should be executed by the same method they killed their victim. That would deter the criminal from recommitting.
It would definitely. Well, I don't
well,
know
they
if
wouldn't
it would,
be able to.
I don't know if it would deter them once they're incarcerated and dead, but maybe that would deter them beforehand.
Tell you what would deter them: speeding up the process. Right now, it can take what 20, 30 years before you could actually
right.
execute somebody.
Well, yeah, and in Pennsylvania, people on the death penalty or death row for 20 years because they've been waiting. People are dying to get executed in Pennsylvania. All right, 570-743-9565. Strangely enough, because I took the break late, Eric is the last caller before another quickie break, but go ahead.
Thank you, John, for taking my call. So I guess the topic today is responsible gun ownership. We always talk about the rights of the gun owner, but today I think we need to focus on the responsibility of the gun owner. And Dan tried, or some other callers tried to say this is all a racial issue. That's not true. ABC also reported a case in upstate New York where apparently a white group of white ladies pulled in the wrong driveway and then they pulled back out
we talked about that. We've been talking about that at length on the earlier part of the program.
Okay. I apologize. I came in late. So I think it can be beyond race, but I think race becomes a part of it. If you understand the history of Kansas City, where this occurred, Kansas City's been a rather raucous town over the course of its time, you know, mobsters and control and so forth. But bottom line is, you know, as a gun owner, which I am one, you know, you have responsibilities. And just because someone's on your porch, it doesn't allow you the, you know, the right to, you know, open fire. Now, what would have happened if that young lad had taken a step inside that house? Huh. Now he has broken the law, he has trespassed and so forth, and there might be then a counter argument. But just showing up on the porch, no, obviously. So, I mean, responsibility, rights and responsibilities. As Dan saying, we're now, you know, worse off than we were before. I don't know. When I was growing up, my dad had a handgun to protect us just in case. You know, nothing ever happened. But, you know, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and, you know, it didn't seem like we had the prevalence of it, or is it just that we have better reporting of it? You know, that's another question. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, we have a right to arm ourselves, but then responsibility. Now, the other big case right now, and I guess I forget what town it was, where the gentleman fled from police and supposedly shot at the police, and now they're trying to get them for shooting him. No. As citizens, we have to respond to, you know, law enforcement, and certainly if anyone pulls a weapon on a cop, you know, you've waived all your rights.
You must have missed that part of the program, too, because we discussed that, and we talked about the fact that this young man who was shot 47 times out of 95 bullets may have been contemplating suicide by cop. He was in a bad place. His girlfriend had died the month mm-hmm. before, and they think, given the fact that he had the gun, but it was on the seat of his car, that he may have been trying to deliberately provoke the police into shooting him by his actions.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I guess there's a yin and yang, because some of the other cases, like there's a case where the cops ironically just flipped the whole thing, went into the wrong place and shot the person who was in their own home and thought they were being, you know, invaded and were defending themselves, and the cops shot that person up because, you know, so again, there's rights and responsibilities on both sides, both law enforcement, but also as us as gun owners as well. I mean, there's the yin and yang of the whole thing. But the fact is that we're an armed society, and if you choose to own a firearm, which is, you're right, and again, I have differences with Stan on who should have guns and how and how many and so forth, with the capacity for them. But you know, if you are, you know, in your own home, you still cannot just open fires because someone happens to be walking on your property, you know, unless there's, you know, some other mitigating circumstance.
All right. Now, I suggested something. Maybe you'll answer yes. That is it time for us to make voluntary commitments count on your gun record? That if you've had a voluntary commitment, you can't get a gun without some sort of a hearing or more adjudication in Pennsylvania?
I thought when I purchased my handgun, that was part of it. Have you ever been, you know...
Involuntary.
But the whole history of it.
Yeah, the law asks if you've been involuntarily committed. Mm-hmm. So, but what about people who check themselves into a mental hospital? Should that count also, voluntary commitments?
You know, I think if that's demonstrated, then perhaps you need to demonstrate, you know, by a professional that you've been examined, and at that point you're not no longer a harm to yourself or others. You know, in self-protection of that same person.
Well, the incident that you didn't discuss it, it's not exactly what you talked about, but Farmington, New Mexico police officers discussed whether they were at the right house moments before the door to the house opened, and they fatally shot an armed homeowner. You know, so they saw the guy with the gun. They thought they were at the right house. Apparently they were not. They were at the wrong house. But 52-year-old Robert Dotson, he's the police chief, apologized profusely, but the apology probably doesn't ring really well with the family of the man they shot.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what the discourse was. Did the police then identify themselves as police and tell them to drop the weapon, or what happened, or as soon as he walked out with the gun, did he plug him?
Well,
you know,
way
again,
the story,
on our own
sir.
Property, we have some rights and responsibilities, but we have some rights, too, on our own property, right?
Right, but if someone knocks on your door, do you look outside before you open it? I do. If I saw there were police at the door, I don't think I'd be waving a gun at them. Just my personal feeling, to be honest with you.
Were they actually right outside his door, or were they just approaching on his...
They were outside his door, yes. They apparently were about to enter his house when he opened the door. They saw he was armed, and they shot him.
Mm-hmm.
But they were at the wrong house, so...
Yeah. But did they tell him before they shot him, hey, drop the weapon or anything? Did they announce themselves? Or, I mean...
All right.
Doesn't say in the story.
Down, and I think was, they actually broke into the person's house and attacked them, and they, you know, the person tried to defend themselves, so...
Okay.
All right, we got you.
We have rights, but we also have responsibilities.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
Appreciate the call. All right, we'll take the quick break. As promised, we got one line ready to go. We'll take more comers, 570-743-9565. Should individuals who are doing voluntary commitments in Pennsylvania be barred from getting a gun later? Involuntary, you're already barred. But what about voluntary? Alrighty. We are enjoying an open day. We'll talk about the topic of your selection, 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. We got some emails there and texts that relate to guns, but calls come first, which puts Herbie on the line from Troxelville, PA. Good morning, sir. It's open phones today. What's on your mind?
Morning, gentlemen. I know you're speaking about gun ownership and the outrageous acts that were committed with firearms just recently, but I'd like to speak about the LGBTQ community, if I could. We're all very familiar with the phrase of the squeaky wheel getting the grease. You've known that since you were a child. And I guess my question is, when is it time to simply discard this wheel and get a new wheel? What I mean by that is, just quit the total media hype about these people. I know you guys are men of faith, and my wife brought up a very good point the other day. When you go to meet your Creator in the afterlife, how can a person of that's LGBTQ tell him that he's really made a big mistake in your creation? I don't think that that's possible. And if I could get a rejoinder, please.
Well, I wouldn't want to tell him he made a mistake.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm not sure. Who was it that somebody says this phrase, God doesn't make mistakes? So
he does not.
I mean, the person who was the member of the LGBT community might feel that, but I don't think God considers himself as making mistakes. So I don't think that counts for anything. I don't know. If you're just going to use your faith as the filter through which we're having the conversation, I mean, we are being implored and encouraged and called to reach out to all of our neighbors, whether we like them or not, or we find that their behavior highly unusual or queer or not or whatever. We're invited to really just carry through this love that we've been shown to everybody. It's hard to do that if you want to discard somebody or discard the media or whatever it happens to be. People who are gay and lesbian that I know are hoping for equality and equal rights and equal opportunities. And maybe if your church rejects them, that's fine. But our society is still where they're looking for, you know, more footing and opportunity. Unfortunately, our founding fathers set up a system in the U.S. where if you address grievances and talk about discrimination and failed opportunities in the U.S. to really be equal, this is a growth area. So now we have to keep talking about it until everybody's equal and has the same rights.
Well, but I sometimes feel that these people are asking for more equality than what
more equality.
A normal person is receiving at this time.
Okay. Well, Lawrence's worthless view, and there's a reason they call it worthless. I think they're just asking for the same, but it may appear as though they want more, and maybe you could be more specific. But
Are they asking us to embrace what they do or to tolerate what they do? I you know, the word tolerance has a nasty connotation, like it's condescension almost.
Right.
But, you know, if it's not my lifestyle, I don't agree with it, I think it's wrong, whether it's based on my faith or whether it's based on personal opinion, isn't the best I can give you my tolerance? I say, okay, I disagree with you, but you live your life and I'll live mine.
I'm with you, Joe, on that. If I could leave you with a final thought regarding perhaps the Second Amendment and many things that were spoken about this morning. Short quotation. All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And I thank you, gentlemen, for your time.
All right. So you're saying that you should step up and stand up for equal rights.
That's what made America great, my friend.
All right. Yeah, I agree with you. All right. Thank you so much, sir. Thanks for calling in. Much appreciated. All right. Bobby, last caller before a quickie break. Go right ahead.
Yes. Good morning, Mark and Joe. Mark, if you remember when we were in school, they had like hunter safety and, you know, as far as learning, you know, if you were going to go hunting in that, of course, I went with my brother-in-law on that, but I was, I'm going to say, educated in how to, how to use how to go hunting and the right, and all that, what ammunition and what a rifle is and all that. So, I mean, I had firsthand experience with my brother-in-law who was in the military. But also, if you remember when we were in high school, or maybe it was junior high or whatever, hunter safety course, I mean, the courses were offered. So, I mean, guns can be used, whatever, I mean, just anything else than that. But, I mean, it's so I think the more education about this, from that level might help out.
All right. Good points all. Yes, thank you, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Joe, traffic backed up for miles on Route 15 southbound.
Yes, it's back up now pretty close to the new bridge, southbound.
Wow.
Southbound.
That's crazy.
Traffic.
That's ridiculous. And what's the holdup?
Not certain exactly what it is. Apparently, it's a repair job being done on the highway.
Okay. All right. So watch out for very, very, very slow traffic on Route 15 southbound coming into Shamokin Dam. We had 15-minute delays earlier, but if you're at the bridge and you start crawling, that's more than a half or 15 minutes.
It looks like it's, I was just looking, it's backed up to dirt cheap cars, wherever that
okay.
is up there.
Well, is that the one that is at just past?
It's just a little bit below, the interchange there for the new bridge.
Okay, past County Line Road
a little bit.
All right, so you're going down the hill, and you can't glide down the hill because traffic's
backed up. And it becomes black once you get to Glicks.
On Google Traffic. All right, 570-743-9565 is our telephone number. One of our good callers says that we're being forced to enjoy too much coverage of the LGBTQ community, and up to now we've enjoyed a conversation about gun rights and are there any changes in gun laws or mental health laws that might make us safer. 570-743-9565. We will be right back.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
So Matt's ranting these days on the Steve Jones Show?
He's out of control.
Well, we'll have to control him.
It's always something.
At least make sure he doesn't have a weapon.
Speedy dialers, 570-743-9565. Joe, read.
All right. Part of the problem is the fact that there are more guns than people in the U.S. right now. If you don't own one, you know where one is. Simple disputes that once ended in a punch being thrown or a heated argument now end with shootings. And that's very true. You know, okay. That's very true. Then, Eric, who do you think I think should be able to own a gun? I think no convicted felon should ever be in possession. And let's see, how many gun laws are on the books in the U.S.? According to gunlaws.com, there are 271 federal gun laws. My question is, if there are this many gun laws on the books, what could be added that would make a difference? Well, that's what we've been discussing for quite a while now.
Yes,
most
sir.
Law-abiding citizens jump through the hoops to make sure they have gone through all the proper channels. Getting guns out of the wrong hands is like getting illegal drugs off the streets. Dave, you've got a good point. It is.
That Dave, you've got a good point. It was not in the email. That was Joe's remark about the email.
Yeah, you're right. You know, so this is an issue that we have to cover in some detail, as we have been.
Many times.
But, you know, let's face it, it's not funny to the people who are victims of these crimes. Mm. Then you have district attorneys like Alvin Bragg in New York, who is letting people who commit gun crimes off the hook, letting them back on the street, and they commit crimes again. There needs to be, I mean, I agree that we've tried everything else. Let's try making the punishment real and immediate for these crimes. You know, no long delays, no court dates 6 months from now, no section, what is that section, 60 days or 360 days?
And 180-day
rule, and you get out on bail. No, let's give them a trial like they did in the Old West. Get the rope.
Get the rope
and a horse.
Put stocks in the Cameron Park again.
Well, we had a judge in Northumberland County who wanted to do that, Judge Peter Creel. He thought,
okay.
He had an interesting philosophy. Judge Creel was an interesting man, if you don't remember him.
I sat in the back row of some of his proceedings.
He used to have what he called the whiff of the possible,
okay. Where
he wanted to take people who would maybe be at risk of committing a crime and putting them in jail for a couple of hours so they could see what it was like.
They get a whiff of the possible.
A glimpse
of the future.
Yeah, you know, you misbehave like this, this is going to be your future. But, I mean, when justice delayed is justice denied, I've always believed that, you know, that you should make sure that the punishment fits the crime and that the punishment is administered as soon after the crime as humanly possible,
okay.
In fairness to the defendant.
But they get a fair trial.
Right, they get a fair trial.
Fair proceedings.
Then we hang them.
Then we hang them in the town square. We lynch them.
No, seriously, I'm joking, but obviously they have to have a fair trial. But, you know, this appeal process goes on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fine. Ronald Reagan always said, trust but verify. I always say, punish but leave room for acquittal. You know,
okay.
if we find out we've put the wrong person there, let's give them enough money to compensate them for what it is we did to them.
Put them in jail and let God sort them out.
No, that was a Marine thing.
Oh, okay.
Kill them all, let God sort them out.
Joe, thank you so much for calling from Sunbury, PA. You are on the mark.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I know it's towards the end, but I'm going to read this headline. It might be relative. Man arrested for DUI after collision kills four on westbound I-76 in Philadelphia. So we've been talking about guns, and my interest will be to see what this man gets as after the trial and see what other people have, you know, been or right now get for their punishment that have killed people with guns, because I don't know if this will make national news, but this man with the DUI didn't have a right. I think it's a privilege to drive on the roads, right? You don't have a right to drive. So this man, the society and the law should come down very hard, very hard on this guy also. And I don't know what he'll get for this, but I think it was covered on Channel 16, and that might be the extent of it for a day or two. But
well, you do jail time. For,
go ahead.
You do jail time for homicide by vehicle, DUI.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, how much? I know they do. Right, I'm not saying he's getting away with it. He crossed over, like, three lanes or something to, you know, whatever. I don't know the details. I'm interested in the outcome of this and others.
All right, we got you, buddy. Thanks for calling
appreciate
in.
Your call.
Much appreciated. All right, don't forget, Route 15 backed up for miles. So Route 15 southbound trying to get into Shamokin Dam. Take an alternate route after Joe goes home.
Right.
So that you don't come up his... you're never getting home, buddy.
No, never. I can't get there from here.
Just park at the top of Sunbury Road and walk home. This is WKOK Sunbury.